Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, everyone. That was a fantastic first 2020 international for Sam Curran. Not only did he get 3 for 28, he came out first ball, hit 6, and said, you know, that more or less finished the game for England. Windy day out here in Paul, and you know, the sun is shining, very, very warm place. It is arguably one of the warmest grounds on the circuit, because it is, you know, it's in a little bowl in the in between the mountains. And when it gets hot here, it gets hot here. I remember playing a domestic game out here for Highveld Lions with no crowd, literally no crowd, because nobody watched domestic cricket. I think there was only the groundsman's dog when we first started, but it was a red hot week.
Sam Curran coming in once again. Quinton de Kock has gone across his stumps and just flips it over Jofra Archer at short fine leg. Archer is inside the 30-metre circle. As long as he clears Jofra, it's safe all the way and will run away for 4. And that's what happened. South Africa 13 without loss.
Yeah, good shot there by Quinton de Kock. If you've got, because of the way Quinton de Kock plays, you've got to have third man and fine leg inside the circle to give you the best chance of boundary riders, which are in the deep square of the wicket. And there, very, very good improvisation by the South African captain.
Curran goes in, and he's gone across his stumps once again, flipped this one. He might have got more of this one. He has got more of this one. It's going to go all the way for 6, landing in the seats down in front of the commentary box, and it's 4 and 6 in consecutive deliveries from Quinton de Kock, South Africa, now 19 without loss. As Jofra Archer comes in to bowl and bowls in! Bavuma has swung across the line. He's looking to hit that one mid-wicket, and it's hit middle and off. If he'd played a straight back shot of that one, he probably wouldn't be looking around and seeing the castle dismissed.
Excellent bit of bowling there by Jofra Archer. He's took slip out. He's tried to bowl away, just outside off stump, trying to take the ball away from Themba Bavuma, early part of the over. He's been driven a couple of times and give away a boundary. He's gone a bit straighter, took slip out, put him into mid-wicket. I thought he would have gone with a short ball. It's actually a little bit shorter in length, and it hasn't bounced as much as I thought it was going to do. It got a bottom edge off Themba Bavuma's bat. It's hit the middle stump, halfway up. What was a good start for South Africa has just been brought back into England's favour.
Jordan in, around the wicket. Oh, Quinton de Kock's gone straight. He's got underneath this one. And what a catch! Tom Curran takes it mid-on. And that is a huge moment. Chris Jordan goes level with Stuart Broad as England's leading T20 international wicket taker. But more importantly, Quinton de Kock is dismissed for 30. South Africa 48 for 2.
That is an outstanding catch by Tom Curran. I can't stress to you how difficult those catches are when you're running out the circle, you're backtracking, but you're trying to keep... You're almost running backwards, and he's taken that and landed pretty heavily on his bat there. I hope he's okay, but... Ironically, that's the first time we've seen Quinton de Kock try and hit down the ground, and that's exactly what Harmison was saying earlier, that he's that type of player that adapts very quickly, and he's been playing behind square and adapting and playing all the trick shots, and that's the first time he's tried to muscle the ball down the ground, and he's come undone there. Jordan, reacted to his last ball a little bit too short, gone a little bit fuller and tried to encourage the drive and got his man.
Sheed is in, and this time shorter. Hendricks goes for a reverse pull, I suppose, and has played it really, really well, to be fair to him. It's run all the way down to the third man boundary for four, and that will make him feel a little bit better. Still striking below 100 in terms of his strike rate, 16 from 17, but a boundary to break up the monotony of dots, ones and twos for South Africa.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he didn't look all that convincing playing that shot. He's almost played it as a stood-up sweep, and I think that's to give himself time to watch the ball spin.
Flighted bold, absolutely neck and crop. Adil Rashid has had Reza Hendricks on toast. This time it was the leg break, a little bit quicker. It completely deceived Hendricks in the flight. He went for the sweep again, not reading the variations of Adil Rashid. And it has hit the top of his off stump. South Africa have lost their third, 65 for three. Ben Stokes is in to Faf du Plessis, who again, that slow, slow pitch, is able to sort of stand back and shovel the ball with a straight bat almost, top of off stump, over mid-wicket for four. Score is now 69 for three, and that's a fabulous shot. Shot of a man who's full of confidence.
He's watching Curran go in. Right arm over the wicket. Yes! Flipped into the onside by Klassen, and Ben Stokes takes the catch. Klassen, in some ways, has been unfortunate because he's picked the only man inside the circle on the leg side. But in another way, it is far, far from fortunate because he's just pinged it straight to Stokes, and Klassen walks off, hitting his bat on the ground. He can't believe what he's done. He's picked the sole man there, and it's another wicket down. Five down for South Africa, and England are all over South Africa in this second T20 international.
Fantastic bit of bowling by Tom Curran.
Sam Curran once again given the job of taking the new ball. None for 24 from two from him. Jofra Archer was superb. One from nine from two overs for him. Eight dot balls. Tom Curran, who kept his place after being expensive on Friday night, there's none for 11 from one over. And Chris Jordan is the other wicket taker. That's brilliant from Rashid. It's also superb from Butler, and I think Faf du Plessis is outstumped. Oh, it looked so, so easy. Beautifully arcing leg break from Adil Rashid. Faf du Plessis groped forward, and as he did so, must have lifted his right foot. Josh Butler collected it, had the bails off in a flash, and that is the end of Faf du Plessis. That was brilliant from Rashid and Butler.
Chris Jordan again, as is the field set by Owen Morgan, is the only man on the leg side, so has to go from mid on to mid wicket inside the circle. Collects, returns to Josh Butler, single taken, 110 for five, two balls into the 17th over.
Here's one for you, Macca. Kit, would you change England's batting order to go? It just looked as though that the hardness of the ball first 7-8 overs is the best time to bat. Would you then get rid of Milan at 3 and go Stokes and Bairstow at 3 and 4?
Archer in, outside edge of Van der Dussen's bat, thick outside edge. It'll go down to the fielder at third man for just a single, 111 for 5.
Personally, I wouldn't. Certainly wouldn't change the top two because I want Roy to get some confidence. I think this could be a good option for him to get out there and score some runs. But he's your number one T20 batter in the world at the minute, Milan. So I would keep him in.
It wouldn't ring full of confidence within the looking from outside into the team, would it? If you were suddenly moving the number one T20 player in the world down the order, it might look a bit odd. I mean, there might be perfectly good reasons for it. Archer in, that's an absolute beauty. Very full, and I reckon that's actually pitched inside the crease. Linders dropped the bat on it, squeezed it out on the offside, was looking for a single just to try and get himself up to the other end as much as anything else. That is an absolute beauty. Two to go in the over. Curran, right arm around the wicket. Oh, he's gone for a slower ball. It's sat up in the pitch. Linder has given this the treatment and sends it the distance and puts it over mid-wicket for six. 4 and 6 in consecutive deliveries, 126 for 5, and Linder has hit that probably as clean as any ball we've seen hit all innings so far, 126 for 5.
Yeah, he's picked the slower ball. It was in the slot, but he's picked it, and he's absolutely belted it. I would go as far to say, Macca, that's the first time in 17.5 overs I've seen a ball timed properly. I really have. I don't think there's been too much of the ball being timed properly, but Linda timed that. It was in his arc, left-hander, ball going from outside off stump on towards half stump, middling off, round about waist high, and he's managed to get his arms free into the arc, into the swinging arc, and it's gone a long way back. It's not a very big boundary square here, but I tell you what, no matter where that was in the world, that was six.
Final ball then from Jordan. It's another full toss as he comes around the wicket to the left hander. Always been misfield. And then Tom Curran has... Ben Stokes has slipped over at mid-off. And they're allowed to come back for another. But it might be a brilliant run out. What do they always say? Don't run on a misfield.
They didn't run on one misfield there. They ran two on a misfield. Because Stokes, he looked as though he wasn't interested. Head was down. He thought, oh, what have I done here? Got his strop on. Then all of a sudden, somebody shouts, Stokesy. They managed to try and run again, and then all of a sudden it looks as though he's going to be a yard out. Stokes is throwing the ball back. Good throw back towards the England bowler, Chris Jordan, and it looks as though he's miles out.
Well, we're getting the replay now. Chris Jordan takes the ball, and he's a foot out of the ground. Linda, as he comes sliding in baseball style, Chris Jordan does it nonchalantly as you like, and, well... We haven't seen much of Ben Stokes for in the field in these two games. I suppose he has to. I think he's contractually obliged to do something spectacular. And there you go. Welcome to the game. Final ball of the innings. Rabada is on strike to Tom Curran. It's in the slot. He's had a big swing across the line. It will go through to the wicketkeeper, Joss Butler. And the batsman will run a bye. So South Africa will post 146 for six. From their 20 overs. The par score, or the average score, should I say, in games played at Boland Park is 150. This is the first T20 international game played at Boland Park, though, so these are domestic numbers that we're having to use. But what that total tells you is it's round about the average at this ground. 146 for six, though, won't frighten England, but, and we've just been talking about this, Kate, it might be, what, 10, 15 more than England would have been thinking a few overs ago, just from that, the fact that they went into that sort of death mode that maybe they didn't need to, and they just got, by their own very high standards, sloppy at the end.
Yeah, I think, you know, you could see the body language of the players walking off. They do just look a little bit disheartened in a way, because I think you're right, they probably leaked 20 runs there at the end, and I think Linda was the difference for them. Steve mentioned earlier about him, he just came in and gave them a bit of a momentum shift, which is exactly what they needed at the back end of the innings there. But like you said, I think that it won't be a score that scares England, but I think they're going to have to be careful about how they bat.
I also think, Macca, when you look at it, I think a lot of that 10-15 runs, Kit, is down to England's own doing. I actually think England's change up last 3.5 overs, they went to the death bowling, and it wasn't the right time to go there.
And then again, Roy sweeps hard, and that flashes away to the backward square leg boundary for four. He's absolutely tagged that. He gets a fist bump from Joss Butler. Jason Roy's away in the series.
I always think, being a top order batter like I am, that often when you are out of nick as a batter, it's more how you play bad bowling rather than how you play good bowling. I think everyone's defence kind of stays there, but that just showed that, I mean, bad ball that's been punished there by Jason Roy, so that could just be something that gets him back into some scoring runs.
In goes Rabada, thick leading edge as Roy tries to turn it into the leg side. It balloons out on the offside into the covers off that leading, almost off the back of the bat. And again, Jason Roy sort of losing control of his backswing. The hands are getting a long way out in front. He's too early on the ball, and that could have been his undoing again there. Tough times this for England's opener.
Yeah, it was a slow ball as well from Rabada, so like I said just before, you are seeing them, those change-ups coming early. But
oh, he just lets this one come in, and oh goodness me, it's looking absolutely harem scarem out there at the moment from England. Temba Bavuma, had he hit direct from cover point, would have sent Joss Butler on his way, no doubt about it.
I feel like I've probably contradicted myself a little bit there, because I said how successful England were with bowling the pace off deliveries. That looked like another slow ball from Rabada, but I just feel like you've got one opportunity with a new ball to get it swinging, get your slips in, try and nick Jason Roy and Joss Butler off.
pull shot from Butler. That's over the head of backward square leg. It's going to run away for four. Again, it was half a chance for South Africa. Extraordinary start. 15 without loss from two overs. England well on their way, but none of it has been convincing from either Butler or Roy. Butler should have been run out by 2 metres in the previous delivery. But England are, 15 without loss. It's an in-swinger. Full toss, and it's hit Jason Roy in front of the stumps as he walks across, and the umpire's finger has gone up. Umpire Holdstock has given Jason Roy out. Roy is shaking his head. I'm pretty sure he's going to go upstairs here for a review. And my first feeling was it swung, and I think it might have gone past leg stump. Yep, Jason Roy has signalled that we're going to go upstairs to third umpire Palicker. What did you think, Kate?
I think it will be umpire's call. I think it would just been clipping, but I think that delivery and that dismissal probably sums up the first 12 balls that we've seen in this innings, doesn't
Shambolic.
It? Yeah, just a bit kamikaze again. It kind of has followed on from the last three overs of the first innings. But it also looked like it really hurt Jason Roy. I think that one did miss the thigh pod, and he almost got the dead leg run down to the other end trying to get off strike.
DRS. Jason Roy, I think it's missing leg stump. I reckon it's hit. Jason Roy. You can imagine here. Yeah, it's funny enough. The only batsman in commentary thinks it's not out. The two bowlers have given it. But Jason Roy, as he's walked across, the ball has missed his front pad. And as the back leg, the right leg, flicks out behind him, I think it's hit him on his back heel. And I reckon that's missing leg stump by about 3 or 4 inches.
I think he might have hit it as well.
Well, it's not got a lot going for it then, has it?
No, it's not.
Missing the stumps. Review retained. Get on with the game. All right, I think it's missing by about 6.5 inches.
Still limping around a little bit on that right foot that hit the inside of the ankle, which I'm absolutely no doubt will be very sore for a couple of days. Might have been almost his Achilles right at the back, just on the top. But the good news is he didn't make a meal out of it.
Norkeirzian in short to Josh Butler, who pulls and has been taken. Oh, no, he hasn't. Oh, my goodness me. It's just a comedy of errors. Kagiso Rabada ran to his right, had to dive. The ball was not travelling at any pace whatsoever. He had both hands on the ball, and somehow it's ended up on the deck. It would be cruel and harsh to say that it looks like an under-12s game out there at the moment, such as the standard of play we've seen. But Kagiso Rabada, how have you dropped that?
Yeah, that's it's a simple chance, really. It's almost hit him on the wrist. I think he's completely overrun it and dived when he didn't need to.
Short again. Roy tries to pull. The bottom edges it. It goes back down the pitch to Henrik Norkeer, who picks up, underarm flicks it to Quendon de Kock. That is the end of the third over. England are 17 without loss. And all that could possibly have gone wrong for both teams at the moment, barring the fact that England are none down, has happened. Norkeer walks down to his fielding position, shaking his head, barely able to believe what he's just witnessed. Giddy's in. A little wider of the crease this time. This time it's straight up in the air. Roy has tried to slam it through the offside again. It has gone straight up. It is taken by one of those three men. I think it's Henrik Claassen at cover. Lungi Ngidi has the wicket. The breakthrough has come. South Africa's tactics of waiting for one of the England batsmen to give their wicket away has paid off. And it's Jason Roy. 14 from 19 for him. England 25 for one.
Yeah, he knew as soon as he hit that. He's come down the track again. He's tried to create something. He's played that shot on one foot, almost Kevin Peterson style, you know, that flat bat shot, and he's just top edged that straight up. And it was a good catch in the end. It's gone really high, and you could just see the reaction from Claassen there that they're not quite as simple as they look, especially against the blue sky. So South Africa probably on top here, 25 for one after four overs, and they've got rid of Jason Roy, and you've now got David Malan coming in, and there's still the likes of Bairstow, Morgan, Stokes still in the shed. So I see what you're saying about South Africa. They got early wickets in the last game and it didn't work for them, but they're not going to win this game unless they bowl England out.
So Butler and Malan are the men at the crease. It's left arm around to the left-handed Malan, and that's a glorious shot. He goes on the reverse paddle and gets it past short third man and straight away races away for four. And 45 for one are England. Malan with that boundary goes to six.
This is a poor bit of decision making by
the South African captain. You've got Milan Morales when you want him. Henrik Nokia has just bowled three of the last four balls in excess of 150 kilometres an hour. Got Milan where he wants him, and you bring a spinner on for him to reverse sweep. It doesn't make sense, this, by the South African captain.
Shamsi to start a new over. Best, that goes into the leg side. He's got underneath it. Has he got enough of it? No, he hasn't! Picks out the man on the boundary at mid-wicket, and England at 55 for three. Besto, man of the match performance in Cape Town with 86. It's three in match number two from seven deliveries, and Shamsi's got two for four, and South Africa have made another big, big breakthrough as Besto takes on the mid-wicket boundary and falls short.
Well, Johnny Besto now has played four attacking shots in his fateful innings. Three of them on the offside, tried to force it off the back foot, clothed everyone. So he's decided to go against Shamsi, against the spin, try to hit it into the leg side, cross bat, slog sweep. And he's just managed to get high on the bat, straight up in the air. And to be fair, he was closer to the 30-yard circle than he was to the boundary. And England are in real trouble now at 55 for three.
Well, England will certainly be hoping that one of the South African bowlers goes for 28 in an over as Shamsi comes in for his last. Ben Stokes sweeps. It goes a long, long way up in the air. There's a fielder circling underneath it. Oh, he needs to be another 20 yards back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The strength of Ben Stokes. It didn't look to me as though he got that right out of the middle. It seemed to come off the top half of the bat, but it has sailed for six. 10 3/4 runs per over on a very difficult surface as Ngidi is in once more doing this catching, standing upright with the bat in the air, and that has been smashed, absolutely dismissed from the presence of Owen Morgan over mid-wicket for six.
He is the first batter to come out and actually time a ball early on in his innings, and that, bloody hell, he's absolutely powered that.
That has not missed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not missed anything other than the middle of the bat.
I mean, that's the best shot we've seen today, I think, by bar none. We've seen some comedy cricket at times, and whatever the plans have been, whatever South Africa's bowlers and captain have spoken about, it's either being poorly executed or it was the wrong plan in the first place, Kate Cross.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at earlier. With, think about the best bowlers in the world. They have those two plans and they stick to them and they execute them. And I feel like this is kind of a neither here nor there plan. Is he going into the pitch? Is he trying to bowl full? It's hard to tell, especially with the field. You could see Quentin de Kock manoeuvring his men again because of that boundary the ball before.
128 for four. Ngidi is into Milan. It's again in the slot. Milan hits it straight back over his head, and I think it may well have gone all the way for six. Yep. The Texas horns are up from umpire Sean George, and that is a magnificent stroke, and it is another T20 International 50 for the number one batsman in the world, David Milan. It's in the slot again. Milan has opened himself up, hit it down towards long off, and it's brilliant. That's a brilliant piece of work from Risa Hendricks. Hendricks was just inside the boundary, had to leap up above his head, parry the ball back into play, jump out of play, and then before the ball
came down on the ground inside the boundary edge, jumped across and pouched it. It's a brilliant catch from Hendricks. It's a good comeback from Ngidi, but it is more than likely too little, too late, as Milan trudges off the park after making his eighth T20 International 50.
That really is an outstanding bit of fielding, and we're seeing it pretty much in every kind of format of the game now, bits of fielding like that.
As Rabada is in. Oh, he's knocked over Sam Curran. He's bowled him. Rabada hasn't given this one up yet. It's now three from four deliveries. And Sam Curran, who just tried to deflect that ball down to third man, has instead deflected it off the inside edge into his stumps. And England are six down, needing three to win, as Rabada is in once more to Jordan. Jordan scoops it into the leg side. That'll be the game and the series. Chris Jordan has found the boundary at square leg. England have got home, albeit not in the emphatic fashion that they managed at Newlands on Friday evening, but it's another win, another series victory for Owen Morgan in England's T20 kit. And for South Africa, well, more questions really about how reliant they are in terms of runs on the likes of Quentin de Kock and Faf du Plessis, whether or not the bowling attack is quite as potent for them as he would like. But for England, well, more questions answered. Dawid Malan has come out and made a match-winning contribution, 55 from 40 deliveries for him. Steve, final word with you. England win again. It's probably another ugly win, you could say, but once more the points go in the right column for them. And more performances from more members of the squad. It's not always the same guys when it comes to England performing.
Absolutely, Butch. And I think when you look at it, if Owen Morgan said in the first game was fine, it was a 5 out of 10 performance, well, that's a probably similar number he'll give. And when your team is not performing at its best and, you know, everything's crash, bang, wallop, the best saying you could have in a dressing room is find a way. Find a way to get over the line. England have done so. I thought Rashid with the ball was absolutely fantastic. And I thought Milan with the bat and Captain Morgan. What has he said? He wants to put pressure on himself to finish games. That's why he's going to bat number six. He did it for his team today. 2-0 in the series, going into Cape Town again. And England found a way to grind out a win. Sign of a fantastic side.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.